this morning, what I want you to think about is, have you ever been to a football match and the next day you've bought a newspaper and you've read the report of the football match, and despite the fact you were at the match, what you remember and the report that you read bear no resemblance at all? That the events that you saw before...
This meeting is being recorded.
The things that you saw before your very eyes isn't actually what is recorded. And today's Bible verses feel an awful lot like that. Today's sermon's based on Hebrews 11, verse 29, and we're also going to be looking at Exodus 14. So I'm just going to take a quick second to pray. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would open our ears, you would open our eyes to your great truth, that your people would be fed and that faith would be built up. That as we open your word this morning, that your words would speak loud and clear.
Amen.
If you have a Bible close to you, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, very short. But after that, I'm going to jump to Exodus 14. Now, how do I move this? Oh, there we are. After that, I'm going to move to Exodus 14, verse 10. So Hebrews 11, 29 says this. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And so I think it's only fair that we now go back and look and see what the Bible says about the crossing of the Red Sea. So this is Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 14, and you should see that up on your screen now. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." There are three things I want to look at today. The first is the unexpected path. The second is Pharaoh, a Pharaoh who chases the people. And the third, where I'm going to spend most of our time this morning, standing between foe and disaster. So when thinking about unexpected paths, I'm sure that most of us are maybe working from home just now, apart from Tori, who's still going to work, she'd like to express. Schools are closed. The church is not able to meet together in physical body. And this is a path that nobody saw, nobody predicted, and that none of us would choose. We can relate this to the story of God's chosen people leaving Egypt. There's lots of debate and lots of argument about the exact route that was taken and where the crossing of the Red Sea took place. However, no matter which routes or which map you look at, you will see that the route from Egypt to the Promised Land was not the shortest route taken. Instead, God took them on a path that may appear unnecessary and actually maybe reckless, and certainly one that sat-nav wouldn't take you on. Just think about that for a second. God took them on a route that nobody else would have planned. Can you relate to that? Do you find yourself in a job that you would never have chosen? Do you find yourself either in a relationship or out of a relationship that if it was you would be very different? Just now I'm trying to work from home, look after the children at the same time, make the children do their schoolwork, help Reuben especially with his schoolwork, looking after the children's mental well-being, looking after their physical well-being, and also looking after ducks that keep going missing. This is not what I would have planned for at the end of this term. However, this does not mean that God has not led me to this place. It does not mean that God has not led us to this place. And I just wanted to bring out quickly this morning that whatever situation you find yourself in today, God may well have brought you here just like he planned the route for the Israelites out of Egypt, that on the face of it makes no sense. Wherever you are today, you are in God's will. And I just want you to relax into that this morning. I want you to relax into that. I know that many of you are not where you thought you would be. Relax into God's word this morning, because we are reading about a group of people who would feel very much the same and say the same. But I want you to learn from the Israelites, but I don't want you to imitate them. This is what they said, remember. They said, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Now, Hebrews talks about faith. I don't see much faith here. That's what I mean when I say the report doesn't seem to match. The people here are actually saying, "What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you? Leave us alone, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." The people are being chased by a pharaoh, by an army. And one of the things I want to bring out this morning, again, is just to give you time to think about, are you being chased by a pharaoh? And if you are, what is your pharaoh? We obviously find ourselves in the middle of a pandemic, and many of us are looking over our shoulders, just like the Israelites were, and we realise that we're being chased. Perhaps, and hopefully, we're not being chased by a real army, but we're being chased nonetheless. We may fear death. We may fear for loved ones. But it's not only in this pandemic that we're chased. If we're honest, many of us will feel like we've been hunted down for many years by many things. There are other fears. Many of us have a fear of rejection. We fear being rejected by others. So therefore, we plan and take a route that takes us directly in the opposite direction of intimate, caring relationships that are open and transparent. Think about that if you're thinking about rejecting becoming part of the buddy scheme. Because we may have a fear of being fully known, and that is our pharaoh that we are trying to escape from. Some of us may be scared about the economic possibilities that may lie before us. People are losing their jobs, people are losing their incomes, and these are very real threats to people. And I'm sure that if you were to ask them, they would be able to look at this story and say, yes, I'm being chased by a pharaoh. Whatever you're being chased by, it may have the same effect on you as it did on the Israelites. You want to take control. You want to go back to what you once knew, even if it's oppression and slavery. You may want to go in the opposite direction that God is leading you, because you see a threat and you want to take a control. Now, these pharaohs, it could be an attitude. It doesn't just have to be fear. It could be an attitude. It could be thoughts that you have, thoughts that aren't pure, wholesome and godly. Or it may be a fear. So just before we move on, I want you to take a second and think about, what is it that you feel is chasing you when you look over your shoulder? Because we're going to look at not how the people responded, but instead how Moses helped them. We're going to look at how Moses helped the people, because again, I don't see much faith in the people who are actually calling to go backwards. And this is are the three areas, or the three things that Moses says to help the people of God. When they are between foe and disaster, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." This can be condensed, I think, maybe into three things. Moses says three things to the people. He says, do not be afraid. He says, stand firm. And he says, be still. And what I want to do this morning is I want to go through each of these and unpack it. Because I think Moses is able to say these things based on his experience of talking to God in the burning bush, which took place in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. I think he uses what he learned from that situation to help the people of God in this situation. And the first thing that he says is, do not be afraid. Now, it's not enough to just say, don't be afraid this morning. I think you have to replace that fear with faith. You have to replace fear with something else. You can't just switch off and stop thinking about it. And the way that I think Moses does this is, if you look back at Exodus chapter 3, 11 to 12, at the burning bush, Moses asks God this tremendous question. God has told Moses he's going to go back to Egypt and free his people. And Moses says, who am I? Who am I to do this? That's a fantastic question to ask God. Yeah. Who am I? But God's answer is even more phenomenal. And I hope that it helps you in terms of our faith if you're facing fear this morning. Because when we ask, who am I? We look at our skills. We look at our talents to help us complete a task and face a situation. You tell yourself that you're resilient. You tell yourself you're capable. And that is who you are. And that is why you're going to be okay. Because that is who you are. And that is how you're going to get out of this situation. Listen to how God answers Moses' question when Moses asks God, who am I? God says, I will be with you. Think about that. That's God's answer to who am I? With you.
Yeah.
Our identity as Christians, that fundamental of who we are, is not that we are sporty, geeky, funny, or poetic. Who we are is that God is with you. God is with you. That's who you are. God is saying that we can walk through today with him because he is here. He's here with me. He's here with you. That you can rest on his attributes instead of ours. Because wherever we go, he goes. And you can warm yourselves by the fire of that great truth. That we are, he is with us. If you feel afraid, warm yourself with that truth this morning. We do not need to be afraid. Because God is with us. That is who we are. If you feel afraid, who are you? God is with you. And the second thing that Moses tells the people is they're to stand firm. So he says, don't be afraid. And then he says, stand firm. And again, I'm going to jump back to the burning bush because I think it's really helpful. Moses has asked God, who am I? And after that, Moses' identity is now changed forever. And he then asks God the next logical question. Because if you know you've got a companion who's going to go with you wherever you go, you may well ask, just as Moses did, well, who are you? And that is what Moses asks God. He asks God in chapter 3, 13 to 22, he asks God what his name is. And you may well know the answer to this, that God answers with that famous phrase, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. Now, in that one phrase, in that one verse, there are books and there are sermons in that alone. If you were to go into my Twitter page, you would see my biography says this. It says, husband to one, father of three, teacher of primary, follower of Motherwell. What I've tried to do there is I've tried to define myself in what I do, in my roles and in my functions in life. God refuses to play that game. He refuses to define himself by anything that is outside of himself. And when you look at the phrase and the language, the phrase and translation of this can refer to actually three things. It can refer to action in the past, something that is true now, and also future actions. When he says, I am, he's talking about his past, his present, and his future. And because he doesn't limit himself to anything outside of himself to describe who he is, it means God is completely free to be what he wants to be and what he will do. He is not limited by anything. He has complete freedom. Therefore, God goes with you, and the God that goes with you is a God who has freedom to be the God who acts. Friends, listen to this. We know, therefore, that God alone has full power to keep the promises that he has made. The promises made to you, your family, our church, and his people. I am who I am goes with you, and he is fully trustworthy in battle. That we can actually trust him to act. So we conquer fear through knowing that God is with us, and we stand firm, knowing that God is forever free and eternally powerful to keep his word and do his purposes. So those are the first two things that Moses says to the people. And the third one is, he tells them to be still. When caught between foe and disaster, Moses is saying, be still. That's not what most people would say in that situation. And again, if we go back to the burning bush, we're going back to chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. Moses asks God in this case, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Really, what Moses is asking God in that situation is, how will I know you go with me? How will I know that you're good and powerful? How can I know? And those are the questions that you will maybe be asking yourself. That you know God goes with you. You know God is a great I am. But how can you know? How can you trust that? And at that point in the burning bush story, God tells Moses to throw down a staff and it turns into a snake. Later on, God would wreak havoc on the Egyptians to show his power and to back up what he said. And at the Red Sea, he parts the waves and lets his people go. How will you know? Look at God's actions and look for the God who acts. But this is the amazing thing I find in this whole situation. The parting of the Red Sea is, I think, possibly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, miracle in the whole of the Old Testament. But do you know how the Old Testament views that miracle? To find it, you need to read Isaiah 43, verse 16 to 19. And this is what it says. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Isaiah is talking about the parting of the Red Sea there. That's what he's talking about. But then look at what he says next. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's almost like God saying, if you thought parting of the Red Sea was good, just wait. He's actually telling us to almost forget the parting of the Red Sea because something better is around the corner. You see, we see a desert. God sees a path. We see hopelessness. God says, I am hope. And now that we can see that Jesus is the way, he is the path, and he is our river. We see through this story that, and in the New Testament, that Jesus is a true and better Moses. You see, Moses is standing as mediator between God and God's people. Jesus is the true and better mediator between God and man. Because we actually see Jesus who parts the sea of death on the cross. And we can see that when we are called, he will guide us safely to the heavenly promised land. How can you be still? We can be still because Jesus has acted. Don't be afraid because he goes with you. Stand firm because the God who goes with you is the great I am. Be still, because you can look at life, you can look at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and the Red Sea that he has parted in our own lives in calling us sons and daughters of his. And we can, by faith, by trusting in that Jesus, stand in places that we would not choose. You can be chased down by an enemy, and you can say to that enemy, I will not fear you. Because we have Jesus who is fully able and fully faithful. That I know many of us will face situations just now and in the future where you will feel like you're between a Pharaoh and disaster, a foe and disaster. And this is what I say to you this morning. Don't be afraid because Jesus goes with you. Stand firm because God is the great I am. He is fully free and fully powerful. And you can be still because you can lift your eyes and you can look to Jesus, who came, who lived and died so that we could be his, so that we could be new creations. So whatever you're facing this morning, whatever you're fearful of, whatever you're being chased by, rest into that word. Do not be afraid because I am with you. Stand firm. I am who I am. And be still. He will make a way, even in the wilderness. Amen.